no matter what their ethnicity, whatever their religious belief, was absolutely equal. Though they made it clear that this wasn't a call for the independence of non-Russian areas of Russia. They insisted that Russia must remain one and indivisible, but also free and equal. They also, as is typical of liberals and liberal values in Russia, enacted social reforms immediately. They declared an 8-hour day in industry. And they promised that land reform would come quickly. And they formed a whole series of committees to study the problem and propose legislation to solve the problem of peasants' desire for more land and need for more land. They also, very importantly, began preparations for a democratic, constitutional political system. They began preparations for elections to this constituent assembly, which would draw up a constitution and create a new order. And they said that these elections had to be when the constituent assembly would be elected, but it took a while to prepare, that they would be on the basis of what they had always demanded, four-tail suffrage, universal, equal, direct, and secret. And this truly was to be universal suffrage. They declared that women, too, should have a right to vote in these elections. Women still could not vote throughout most of Europe or in the United States, but they could vote in Russia. With good reason. Even such a radical as Vladimir Lenin said that Russia after February 1917 was, in his words, the freest country in Europe. He might have said the world. Equally important, though, is what the provisional government did not do. First of all, it didn't end the hated war. It refused quite clearly to withdraw unilaterally because this meant abandoning the democratic allies. Remember, liberals saw themselves as bringing Russia into the mainstream of European democratic civilization. Russia was allied with England and France, and after April 1917 with the United States as well. They did not want to believe, they couldn't believe that they should abandon these allies. Liberals, in fact, even many socialists in Russia, believed that this was indeed a democratic war. Of the democratic countries, Russia wasn't democratic at first, but now it was with the rest of its allies, against authoritarian states like Germany and Austria. Second thing they didn't do was to authorize peasant land seizures. Peasants weren't waiting. They were already taking the land that they believed by right was theirs and by need they desperately had to have. The government accepted the principle of land reform. Indeed, they believed that land should be radically redistributed in Russia. But they insisted on the rule of law. They believed in legality. They demanded that peasants wait until very complex legal procedures had been worked out. Above all, they said, wait for a constituent assembly. After all, we, the provisional government, are not authorized to act. Nobody elected us. We grew out of a body that had been closed in a legal term. Wait for legally established representatives of the country to gather, and then you will get your land. It was also a moral principle for them. They believed it was necessary to balance the interests of all classes, peasants and landlords, and therefore this was a complicated problem that had to be carefully worked out. They also failed to stop the decline of the economy. Partly, this was a liberal government, and they were therefore hesitant to use the state compulsion to control prices or to assure production. This was their own intellectual belief in the relationship of a government to an economy, and therefore they felt that they had to work with employers to find solutions to the economy. They couldn't take bold action. The Bolsheviks, of course, took advantage of all of these failures and took advantage of it a way that nobody else was willing to do. Moderate Mensheviks, the socialist revolutionaries, recognized these failures but felt this wasn't the time to challenge the government, to push for a more radical solution. Lenin himself came back to Russia in April of 1917, part of this widespread amnesty that allowed everybody in exile to return without any charges against them. And he insisted that the party's goal, the Bolsheviks' party goal, must be to force the Soviets to take power, the thing they were hesitant to do, and to create nothing less than a class government that represent only the common people, only workers and soldiers and peasants, and that this new socialist class government would immediately, he said, end the devastating war, which it's worth noting many soldiers were already beginning to desert from, give land to the peasants, which, as you know, many peasants were already beginning to take, and give control of the factories to the workers themselves, who in fact were already beginning to take control of factory conditions.